Hey there. My name's Tim. Welcome to The Table, the podcast edition. The Table's a community that exists to make room to explore what we believe. What you're about to hear is an edited version of something that we call the Talky Bit. We're sharing it with the hope that it can be a positive catalyst and encouragement to you in your own explorations. In our experience, exploring what we believe can sometimes be hard work, and we don't think anybody should have to do that alone. We're able to offer this because of the generous support of donors both within and beyond a local community. If you want to contribute to keeping it going, you can find information about how to do that at thetablewinnipeg.com. Thanks for dropping by. Just a very quick preamble to the podcast you're about to listen to. This past Sunday was Mother's Day 2023, and we marked that at the table by convening a panel of five people in the community, women who identify as moms. And I asked them a question about what it's like to be someone who's exploring what you believe while also influencing the beliefs of others. And we didn't have a lot of time, so this just really scratches the surface, but even the scratch reveals something so remarkable and wonderful, we wanted to share it as a podcast. The reason for the brevity of time was because immediately preceding this, a bunch of the kids in the community had shared poems that talk about who they understand themselves to be as people. It was wonderful, absolutely lovely, and they were having such fun that and it took up a significant chunk of time, which I wouldn't have any other way, and that also meant that we didn't have quite as much time for our adult conversation. But what we did have, I share here with you with great joy and also a deep sense that this is exactly the sort of thing that the table exists to do, which is make space for people to talk freely without fear. Without concern about being judged, about what the journey that they're on, the experiences that they're having in the process of considering and reconsidering and exploring and sharing whatever it is that they would understand to constitute their beliefs. So we're going to jump right into this, a little noisy, a little chaotic, very like the table in many ways, also very open and free, equally like the table. I hope that you enjoy and that it makes room in your mind, spirit, and lived experience to also openly share things that are complex and incomplete for you. Here we go.
Briefest of introductions for me then, and we'll get right into it. The question that I posed when I invited people to be part of the panel was, and not so much of a question, but a stem for reflection, was to give us a little bit of a window into what your experience has been and is like of being a parent, and in this particular instance, a mom, who is exploring what they believe, while also playing a unique part in influencing the beliefs and formation of the beliefs of others. That's a huge question in a short amount of time, and so that's an awkward combination, but we'll do the best we can. Give us your name and a little bit of your context as a parent. And as I explained in the post, this is for the benefit of the people who might hear this later as a podcast who don't know all of you, like the people in this room do.
Okay, so I'm Jane. I grew up Catholic, and so like my experience of growing up in like a belief system is a lot of this is what you do, this is when you do it, and like it kind of, I guess it permeated into other things, but I wasn't conscious of it, and so all of that, I am pretty hands off. Because my upbringing was very hands-on.
So hands-off in terms of your kids' formation of beliefs, is that what you're referring
yes.
to when you say that?
Yes, and because I have this, like, I feel like the things that are shaping me are still shaping me. I'm not in a rush to shape them or, like, have my hands on that shaping, if that, is it fair?
Like, well, can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
So anytime, just so the panel knows and so the room knows as well, when I ask a follow-up question, that's not something you signed on for, right?
That's okay.
And so you can wave those off anytime,
okay
just to be clear. So when you talk about hands-off and not shaping,
yes,
I feel like you're probably describing overt input. Because obviously they're watching, you're sharing light, right. So that the shaping is happening. Would that be a reasonable assessment or assumption about what you're saying?
Yes. Here's the play. Do what you're going to do with it. Just don't make a mess.
Right. So there's some points where you kind of feel like I need to step in here a little bit and kind of go, what about, or be careful of.
Right.
Or, okay.
Yeah. And most of that, it has to do with like how they're treating other people. Mm-hmm. Right. And how, yeah, what that looks like, what their relationships look like. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I
got
it over
with,
see?
Hold that thought. Let's just carry on.
Yeah. So I'm Teresa, and the context of my parenting, obviously I'm a mother. I'm the mother of two adult children. I was raised in foster care as a 60 scoop. I learned later in my life. And so there's lots of layers of what a mother looks like for me. I had a daughter when I was 19 years old, and that was my solution to not having supports when I left care. And so I'm grateful I have two wonderful children. And what else? I'm grandmother of two children, and so I said I would sign up and tell you all the things not to do as a mother, but so there's lots of layers, and it's an ongoing process. So I was raised very entrenched in religion, in a very charismatic, dysfunctional home. So it's a long story, but that's my introduction.
Okay, can I follow up, Teresa? Mm-hmm. So I mean, I know a little bit of your story, that part of an important part of that story has been an emerging engagement and a deepening engagement with your own identity mm-hmm. as an Indigenous woman.
Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit about the intersection of that and other people's formation of identity and beliefs as your kids or grandkids?
Sure, I'll try. So I want to backstep a little bit because I want to talk about Nolan. And I got his permission. And so when I had Nolan, we were always thankful to his dad because I had made a goal, like, when I'm 25, I'm not having any more children. And I was like, okay, are you sure? And then Nolan happened. And so Nolan has autism. And part of why I'm talking about that is because when he was younger, it was very prevalent. And we were just talking about it yesterday. I was like, just make him talk. He'll be fine. Hmm. And so when I separated in my marriage, and we ended up here in Winnipeg to work, and I was still very like, I'm going to save the world and all the people on the street. Nolan had a lot of growing to do. It is part of that journey. And so that's an important part of that, me changing who I was. I just started a healing journey. And I knew I was Indigenous, but I didn't want to talk about it. Mm. I related to the people that were on the street because that was the story of my mother. And so once I started that healing journey as a mom and realizing my identity, it freed my children. Mm. I don't know how that works spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all those things. It allowed Nolan to heal and become the young man he is today. Mm. And challenge. So sometimes we'll have like conversations about our like old things, and he'll be like, "Mom, that straight up was brainwashed." Like, yeah, I know, but Jesus said
it. But it's kind of comforting.
Yeah. And I have my daughter is unfortunately part of it's a side story, but she's not speaking to me, so it's been about 5 years, and that's part of like that. Rooted stuff, mm-hmm. but she's a very strong-willed person. I don't know where she is. But I remember her being very strong in her ways, and she's like we'll talk about things I wasn't sure about in that identity and my Christian beliefs, because I didn't. It was starting not to make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And so, example, LGBTQ community was so entrenched in a certain way of belief, it didn't make sense to me. And then I'm like, I'm pretty sure God and Jesus loves everybody. We're just all people. Mm-hmm. My daughter would be like, hey, I'll tell you what you believe about that. Mm-hmm. Because she was an advocate, mm-hmm. you know. And so part of that has helped mold my own identity to one where I am now, much older in my journey, to say there's lots of things. I have Christian values now, but it's taken a lot of hard work for me. A lot of counseling, a lot of like put down my Bible and go back to my indigenous roots, mm-hmm. Just seeing, smelling, and what does that mean? And it's complicated because there's certain things as an indigenous person I don't understand as being part of the 60s group. But in all that journey, I've been able to let Nolan, I mean, he's a grown person, believe and come to whatever that belief may be. And so and when I talk about it in bigger communities, I will say I have Christian values, and however, that's not where I am, and I'm grateful for those years because it kept me in line with checkboxes of how to live, because I didn't know what to do with all the rest of that stuff. So now I watch you as moms, and it's different when you're older, and be like, oh my God, I never would have done that before. So it's if I knew what I knew now,
right,
it'd be a different journey for me.
I feel like we could have a whole conversation about the difference between values and identity, which we're sort of having in the community as well, but that touches on that really significantly and really concretely. It's a way to window in. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm Rowanna. I have 4 kids. Two daughters who are 21 and 17, and 2 sons who are dogs that are almost 12 and almost 2. I have pictures of the dogs on my phone if you want to see them later. And I also have a picture of my daughters, so just, you know, whatever. I started on this deconstruction faith shift, whatever you want to call it, when my kids, I was trying to figure on the way here, I think they were probably about 5 and 9, and so they'll tell me things like, oh, I remember when you wouldn't let us read the Harry Potter, like, I let them read Harry Potter, but not the one, the book that was about the spells, because I thought that was someone, you know, whatever, and then they'll say things, oh, and you used to pay us to memorize Bible verses, and like, and I'm just so like, I feel like my spiritual parenting of my children is just apologizing like all the time now. Like, just, I'm so sorry I made you do that. I'm so sorry I wouldn't let you wear a bikini. I'm so sorry. Like, you know, and they remind you of all these things, right? Yes, they do, yes. And so really, I think if nothing else, it's just like an exercise in humility for me. And something that I heard when I was in the midst, but in the midst of blowing up the evangelical faith that I was, and just so you know, I was also a missionary for like over 20 years. I was a pastor's wife. So like I drank the Kool-Aid, like I was in. So like for me to get out, there was an awful lot of digging, and that digging meant my marriage ended because my ex did not want to be with someone who did not still want to be a missionary with an organization that did not support LGBTQ rights. So it was some pretty heavy lifting there. But one of the things that I heard that I think also applies to parenting was, I remember hearing for the first time, somebody said, your soul is not in danger. And whoa, that took the weight off. And I think it's the same thing for our kids. Mm-hmm. Because if you grow up in a lot of the mainstream faiths, your soul is in danger if you don't adhere to this and this and this. And thus, as a parent, you're sending your kid to hell or wherever, eternal damnation of whatever you want to call it, if you don't follow this and this. So if I can take that off my shoulders, my soul's not in danger. My kids' souls are not in danger. Mm-hmm. And there's so much freedom there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Karen, and Miles and Malcolm are my kids. I didn't grow up in any organized religion at all, and then as a teenager, I went like hardcore into like Brethren religion, which is like quite far on that right end, and like So there was this, and like, as a teenager, what a weird time in your life where like you really want things to be black and white, even though you want to understand everything and learn everything. It's kind of a weird time. And then I quickly got out of that. I was like, oh, that was a wild ride. I don't know what I think about that. I've got some thinking to do. And I moved here. So I'm from Vancouver. I moved here. I met Brent. And Brent was like going to this evangelical church. And I was like, I don't know. I don't have a 10.5-foot pole. I can't touch that thing. So we went to like the first iteration of the table. Like way back before it was the table, and I was like, oh, I could maybe like handle being in here, but I still feel kind of icky. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of like questioning what I believe, like I was allowed such freedom as a child to just like believe what I want. And the message in our house was like, just don't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. And attached to that was like you, like this historical belief of like, you realize religion has hurt a lot of people. So just be careful, because like, and not just like spiritually hurt them, but like physically, like genocides, right? Mm-hmm. So don't do that. But you can do what you want. So I want to give that freedom to my kids too, but I never really even thought about it because I never had to have that imposed on me. So I just feel really grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And I feel grateful for this community because it is a way for them to like lightly explore things and ask those questions that when I asked them as a teenager, people were like, I don't know, is this the devil's question coming to you? And I was like, I do kind of want to chip away at these exteriors, because there were some things that fundamentally I just didn't agree with that just sat really wrong. Like heaven and hell, like what a weird thing. That's a really weird thing, guys. So I'm glad that my kids have a place where they can touch on things that they can explore.
Thank you. Shereen?
Okay, I'm Shereen. I'm a stepmother and a mother. And so my stepdaughter is 25. Technically, I have other stepchildren, but they're my age, so not. And then my two kids here. My parents were not in me. I like went to church when I was at my grandma's house, and then like my dad was from India, so if there was a meal happening that somebody we knew made at temple, we'd go to that. But neither of my parents were interested in going. Maybe they weren't allowed because they're from different, I don't know. So my introduction to Christianity, I guess, my best friend was raised in an evangelical home, and so that was my introduction. And it was scary, and a scary introduction. And then, as an adult, I met and married Zeke, who had been in church his whole life. And my stepdaughter's family, both sides, very in church. And not like a church I knew anything about. And then they've been going through, on their own time, dealing with what it means for them. So I'm kind of just witnessing everybody. And if they have questions, I try to answer. And I feel like none of the adults in the rooms I'm in know what to say. So a lot of what we say to our kids is, everybody's different. Just be nice. And some people, but it's fine, you know. A lot of it is saying, I don't know. Or I think this, but so-and-so thinks this. Or, you know, so it's a lot of just saying there's no answer. But you can have all the questions.
Thank you. Very briefly, by way of sort of putting a bow on this at least a little bit. As I was driving here this morning, I heard the front end of an interview with someone who kind of, as a professional journalist, had to face this you-can-have-it-all mythology. You know, I can have this full-on career and also be a full-on parent. And yes, you can just do everything. And her discovery was that, in fact, she could not and chose not to and made some changes in her life. In the early going in that interview, the interviewer asked her this question, which I thought was a great question. And I'm just going to twist a little bit. The question as it was posed was, what's the worst piece of parenting advice you've ever gotten? Her answer was, you can have it all. For her, that was the answer. So I don't want to ask what's the worst piece of parenting advice you've ever gotten. What I do is I want to turn that around a little bit and say, if there was one piece of advice about forming good beliefs that you want your kids to pick up by watching how you live, so not what you say, what would it be? Is the question clear enough? Mm-hmm. One thing that you would love your kids to pick up that you feel like is a good thing, if they included this in their belief, whatever it was, that they would pick up just by watching how you live your life, what would that one thing be? In no particular order and with no obligation for all of us to answer, anybody want to toss any of those into the conversation?
Be kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it catches a lot, that net, doesn't
right.
it?
Right, and it catches even, like, that emotions like anger and frustration can still be loving.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I agree. Like, just be loving. You can be angry, but still be loving at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The complexity of kindness. Right? To watch us as adults navigate the complexity of kindness and know that sometimes we're not going to crush it as well, and to be able to say, you know, that's sometimes we have to clean up our messes as well. That's okay.
I would say doing your work.
Personal work?
Yeah.
As a hard work. I would say hard work, not hard work. Because that love and those things that naturally and innately are inside of all of us, that will transfer to our children.
Mm-hmm.
Give them permission to be curious, and give them permission to be challenging. And, I remember once I asked a question, but yeah, that piece of like loving. And I think we have lots to learn from our kids too.
Yes.
And
age and stage too. Like, I mean, we have lots to learn from our kids at every age and stage. And also, I think there comes a point, at least in our experience as parents with adult kids, in our household, where they overtly start to teach you, and it can be challenging and really exciting, very life-giving thing to be carried along by these people that you're a part of forming, bringing into the world. I know we can have a delightful and fruitful conversation for a long time, but I'm going to wrap it up there and just say thank you so much for your willingness, each of you, to be open about your stories and to give us a little window in. You may have unwittingly opened a door that was bigger than you thought in terms of conversations that will follow this, but you're all very capable of navigating that, I know. And I know for me, it feels like the door you open just has so much, for each of you, so much behind it. I want to keep talking, and we will. Because we get to share this journey together in some ways as a community, and that's what we like. Thank you. That's the editing pause, and also, I sense that the chaos that has been barely restrained for some time now is about to descend.
It's about to be wrapped.
That's officially a wrap. Thank you, and on behalf of all of us, thank you so much for